A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
It's 10 at night on a Sunday. You're one number 8 wood screw short of finishing the shelf, and the hardware store closed 45 minutes ago. That feeling. Daniel's been living it.
Oh, that's the worst. That exact screw. You can see it in your head. The one you definitely bought last month and definitely put somewhere. You remember the little plastic bag it came in. You remember thinking, I should put this somewhere I'll remember. And now you're standing in the garage at 10 p.m., opening every drawer, every jar, every coffee can, and it's just not there.
He's sent us a whole thing about building a deep inventory for home workshops, scaled down from the aircraft MRO systems we talked about last time. Two specs. First, a 64-drawer small pods bin, the Acro Mills kind. Each drawer about 10 by 5 centimeters. That's the dedicated, but basic tier. Second, scaling up to roughly 300 drawers for the serious DIYer who's also tinkering with computer hardware. He wants drawer allocations per category, realistic cost estimates, and then the part he says he hasn't found a good answer for anywhere. How do you actually procure all these fasteners in one go, without spending a week clicking through Amazon listings or paying a fortune in per unit markup?
That procurement question is the real one. Anyone can list what to buy. The how is where it falls apart. I've seen people spend 3 evenings just trying to source a complete set of metric machine screws and stainless, and by the end, they've got 12 browser tabs open and a spreadsheet that looks like it was designed by a committee of angry raccoons.
So let's start with what a deep inventory system actually is, and why the same logic that keeps a 747 flying can keep your IKEA build from stalling at 11 p.m. on a Sunday.
In the MRO context, a deep inventory isn't just having parts. It's having the right distribution, so the probability of a stockout during any maintenance event is near zero. The metric isn't part cost, it's flow preservation. If a 30-cent O-ring grounds a $200 million aircraft for 6 hours, the O-ring wasn't the cost. The 6 hours was.
And at home, the cost of a stockout isn't the 15-cent screw either. It's the 45-minute round trip to the hardware store, the lost momentum, the project that sits half done for a week because you couldn't get back to it until Saturday. And the psychological cost is almost worse than the time cost. You were in the zone, you had your workflow, you were making progress, and then one missing fastener pulls the plug on the whole thing.
Same inventory math at a different scale. The two specs Daniel's proposing map to two different ambitions. The 64-drawer unit is, I want to stop running to the store for common stuff. The 300-drawer setup is, I want to never have to think about whether I have a fastener. That's a qualitative jump. You're not just covering the top of the curve, you're pushing down into the long tail.
Walk me through the 64. What actually goes in there?
All right. The goal is coverage of the 80-20 curve. The 20% of fastener types that account for 80% of home DIY needs. So let's allocate drawer by drawer, 12 drawers to wood screws. You want number 6, number 8, and number 10 in lengths from 1/2 inch to 2 inches. Number 6 is your trim and small hardware screw. Number 8 is the workhorse, cabinet screws, general construction. Number 10 for heavier stuff, flathead and panhead, zinc coated mostly.
12 drawers feels like a lot for one category.
It's the category you reach for most. Think about how many times you've opened a drawer looking for a wood screw versus how many times you've needed a cotter pin. The ratio is probably 50 to 1. 10 drawers to machine screws. M3, M4, M5, M6 on the metric side, and 632, 832, 1024, 1032 and quarter, 20 on the imperial side. Common lengths, 10 to 30 millimeters or 3/8 to 1 inch. Panhead and flathead. 8 drawers to drywall anchors and concrete screws, TAPCON style and plastic expansion variety. 6 drawers to nuts matching the machine screw sizes. 6 drawers to flat and lock washers, same size range. 6 drawers to hex head bolts, 1/4 inch, 5/16, 3/8 in lengths up to 3 inches. 4 drawers to self-tapping screws for sheet metal. 4 drawers to specialty items, small hooks, eye screws, cup hooks. 4 drawers to picture hangers and lighter duty wall anchors. And 4 drawers to miscellaneous. Cotter pins, hitch pins, small springs, the stuff you need twice a year but really need when you need it.
That's 64 exactly. And quantities per drawer?
Modest. 20 to 50 pieces for screws, 10 to 20 for bolts, 30 to 50 for washers. You're not stocking a hardware store. You're stocking enough that you don't run out mid-project. Refill when a drawer gets low, not when it's empty. There's a psychological trap here where people want to fill every drawer to capacity on day one, and that's how you end up with $300 in fasteners you'll never use. Start lean. The inventory grows organically as you do projects.
Cost on this?
The cabinet itself, Acro Mills or similar, runs $40 to $60. The fasteners, bought in bulk from a supplier like Bolt Depot or McMaster Car, roughly $80 to $120 for reasonable quantities across all categories. Total, around $150 to $200. That's the dedicated but basic tier. About what you'd spend on 2 or 3 decent power tools.
And that covers what? Most common household projects.
It covers the stuff that stops you dead. Hanging shelves, assembling furniture, fixing a loose hinge, mounting a TV bracket. The fasteners you know you need but somehow never have. Where it falls short is when you're doing something weird. Repairing a laptop, working with aluminum extrusion, anything involving tiny metric threads or specialty heads.
Which is where the 300 drawers come in.
So that's the 64 drawer setup, a solid foundation. But what happens when you want to cover not just the common stuff, but the weird stuff too? That's where the 300 drawer spec comes in. And this is where the inventory philosophy shifts from cover my bases to I'm building a personal parts department.
And the configuration, here's what. 4 of the 64 drawer units, plus a 44 drawer unit, stacked in a metal frame.
That's the standard way to do it. 4 64s and a 44 gives you 300 drawers exactly. Now we can get granular. 40 drawers to wood screws. We're adding number 4 for very small trim work, number 12 for lag alternatives and 3-inch lengths. 50 drawers to machine screws. This is where we go deep. Mi M1.6, M2, Mi M25 for electronics, plus 440 and 256 for small hardware. Then the standard M3 through M8 and quarter 20 through 3/8. Multiple links per diameter, multiple head types.
50 drawers for machine screws alone. That's nearly the entire 64 drawer unit just in one category.
And it's justified. Machine screws are the category where being one size off means the thread doesn't engage or it strips. You can't fake a machine screw the way you can sometimes use a slightly longer wood screw and just drive it deeper. The thread pitch is either right or it's wrong, and if it's wrong, you're done. 30 drawers to bolts, hex head, but now also carriage bolts, lag bolts, shoulder bolts. 25 drawers to nuts, nylock, wing nuts, cap nuts, jam nuts. 20 drawers to washers, fender washers, split lock washers, finishing washers. 25 drawers to drywall and concrete anchors. Toggle bolts, molly bolts, sleeve anchors, the stuff rated for actual load.
You're at 190 drawers, and we haven't touched computer hardware yet.
Right. 20 drawers to self-tapping and sheet metal screws, including tech screws with drill points for metal framing. Then 20 drawers to computer hardware specifically. M1.6 and M2 are the standard for laptops and SSDs, M.5 for NVMe drives, M3 for 3.5-inch drives and case fans. Motherboard standoffs. Those are number 632 UNC in most ATX cases, but some use M3. Nylon standoffs for mounting PCBs without shorts. Jumper pins, drive screws, the tiny screws that hold a Wi-Fi card in place.
The screw you lose when you open a laptop, and it pings across the room into the carpet.
That screw. And you can't finish reassembling without it. I once spent 40 minutes on my hands and knees with a flashlight looking for an M2 laptop screw that had ricocheted off the desk. Found it inside a shoe. 15 drawers to specialty items. Threaded inserts, rivet nuts, well nuts, rubber grommets, cable clips. 15 drawers to adhesives and small tools. Thread locker, epoxy syringes, precision tweezers, hex keys in the sizes you always lose. 10 drawers to electrical, wire nuts, ring terminals, spade connectors, butt splices. 10 drawers to plumbing, O-rings, small washers for faucets, hose barbs. and 10 drawers left empty for Project Overflow, whatever the current build needs that doesn't have a permanent home yet.
300? That's a parts department, not a parts drawer.
It's a serious setup. Cost-wise, the cabinets, 4 64-drawer units plus a 44, run $250 to $350. The fasteners in bulk, filling 300 drawers with 20 to 100 pieces each depending on size, roughly $400 to $600. Total, $650 to $950. That's the serious DIYer tier where you're buying from industrial suppliers, not the hardware store.
And the per-unit savings versus buying as you go?
Massive. A box of 10 machine screws at Home Depot runs about $1.50. The same screw bought in a bag of 100 from Bolt Depot is maybe 8 cents each. Over 300 drawers, that difference pays for the cabinet several times over. Let me give you a concrete example. Say you're building a workbench and you need 40 number 8 by 1 and a quarter wood screws. At Home Depot, that's 4 boxes of 10 at $1.50 each, $6. From Bolt Depot, a bag of 100 is about $4, and you use less than half the bag. You just save $2 on one project, and you've got 60 screws left for the next one. That math repeats across every category.
Alright, we've talked about what to stock and how much it costs, but Daniel raised a question I don't think we've fully answered yet. How do you actually buy all this stuff without spending a week on Amazon?
This is the procurement problem, and it's the part he said he hasn't found a good answer for. And he's right, there isn't an obvious one. The reason MRO-style kits don't exist for home users is that the fastener industry is fragmented in about four different directions at once. Metric versus imperial. Zinc versus stainless versus brass versus nylon. Phillips versus hex versus Torx versus Robertson. Coarse thread versus fine thread. No single kit covers all those combinations, and no retailer wants to stock a kit that only covers 10% of customers.
So the kit approach is dead.
The kit approach is dead. But the solution isn't buying one by one either. The solution is what I'd call a covering order. You use a supplier that lets you buy by the piece or by the bag, and you build a master parts list from a template. Several Reddit communities, the Workshop Sub, the DIY Sub, the Tool Sub, have shared spreadsheets of starter fastener inventories. You download one, adjust for what's available at your local suppliers, and place one bulk order.
And which supplier?
Bolt Depot and McMaster Car are the two that come up constantly. Bolt Depot lets you buy by the piece with no minimum. You can order exactly 17 M412mm pan heads if that's what you need. McMaster has per bag pricing that's slightly higher per unit, but their selection is unmatched and their shipping is next day for most of the country. The key insight is to buy the most common sizes in bags of 100, not boxes of 10. The per unit cost drops 60 to 80% and you'll use them eventually.
What about the assortment boxes at Home Depot or Lowe's, the Hillman and Everbilt ones?
Convenient, but expensive. They're priced for the person who needs one screw right now, not for inventory building. Per unit cost is 2 to 3 times what you'd pay from a distributor. A Hillman drawer with 25 M4 screws might be $4. A bag of 100 from Bolt Depot is about the same price. You're paying for the packaging and the retail shelf space. The plastic box costs more to manufacture than the screws inside it.
So the hybrid approach is identify the 10 to 15 most common sizes in each category, order those in bulk from a distributor, then fill in the oddballs from the local hardware store bins as needed.
That gets you 80% coverage in one order without the premium pricing. The 10 to 15 sizes thing is important. You don't need every length of every diameter. For wood screws, number 8x1 and a quarter, 1.5 and 2 inches does most of the work. For machine screws, M4x12, 16, and 20 millimeters covers a surprising amount. You stock the workhorses deep and the weird stuff shallow.
Daniel mentioned he likes to keep the very small computer screws in separate storage. Makes sense? M1.6 and M2 are easy to lose in a drawer full of M6 bolts.
And they need different organization logic. Computer screws you want sorted by the device they go to, almost, laptop screws, drive screws, motherboard standoffs. Because when you're fixing a specific machine, you want all the fasteners for that machine together. It's a different retrieval pattern than, I need a 3-inch deck screw. The deck screw drawer you open once a month. The laptop screw drawer you open once, but when you do, you need all of them at once, in one place with no hunting.
Before we wrap up, Hilbert's been making a face for the last 5 minutes. Hilbert, you've got something to add?
You're both overcomplicating the procurement problem.
All right.
The reason there's no MRO kit for home users isn't the fragmentation. It's that nobody wants to pay the shipping on 50 pounds of fasteners. A single covering order from McMaster Carr for 300 drawers of mixed fasteners weighs about 40 pounds and costs $85 in ground shipping. That's the hidden cost nobody talks about. The solution isn't a better kit. It's finding a local fastener distributor who'll let you walk in with a list and buy by the pound.
By the pound?
There's one in every mid-sized city. They charge half what McMaster does because they don't have to ship it. You walk in, hand them a list, they weigh it out. The place smells like grease and has bins of grade 8 bolts in the back. I spent 6 months in 2019 as a parts runner for a custom motorcycle shop in Austin. We had a 400-drawer McMaster car wall. Every fastener you could imagine, organized by thread pitch and head type. The owner had a rule. If you had to walk to the hardware store more than once in a week, you were fired. So I learned real fast what a deep inventory looks like when the cost of a stockout is your paycheck.
How do you find one of these places? What do you search for?
Industrial fastener supply plus your city name. If the results show a place with a loading dock and no website, you're in the right spot. If they have a retail counter with a guy named Mike who's been there 30 years and can identify a thread pitch by squinting at it, even better.
The by-the-pound thing is interesting because it changes the economics completely. If you're paying 8 cents a screw from McMaster plus shipping versus 4 cents a screw from a local distributor with no shipping, on 300 drawers that's a couple $100 difference.
And they'll sell you the weird stuff too. McMaster makes you buy a bag of 50 when you need 3. Local place will hand you 3 and charge you 30 cents. They don't care. They're selling to contractors who buy 10,000 at a time.
What's the minimum order at a place like that?
There isn't one, usually. They might give you a look if you walk in for 2 screws. But if you show up with a spreadsheet and you're buying across 30 categories, they'll take you seriously. Bring coffee. Mike likes coffee.
The other thing Hilbert's point surfaces is that a lot of the procurement difficulty is really a shipping problem disguised as a selection problem. You can find everything you need online. You just can't get it to your door for a reasonable price unless you're ordering enough to amortize the freight.
40 pounds of fasteners ships in a flat rate box if you're smart about it. But most people aren't. They order from 5 different places and pay shipping 5 times.
So the covering order from one distributor is the move, but the distributor should be local if possible.
Local, if you can. McMaster, if you can't. Never Amazon for fasteners. Half of it's mislabeled and the thread pitch is wrong.
And you know this from the motorcycle shop.
I know it from the 3 times I ordered what I thought were M6 1.0 and got M6 1.25 and had to explain to the owner why the engine case wouldn't torque down. He wasn't sympathetic.
That's a hard lesson. Metric coarse versus fine thread. M6 coarse is 1.0 pitch, fine is 0.75. They look identical until you try to thread them.
They don't look identical to Mike.
Of course they don't.
Anyway, local distributor, by the pound. It's not complicated.
The thing I keep coming back to is, we've designed these 2 setups assuming the person building them knows what they need. But what about the beginner who doesn't know what an M2.5 screw looks like? Is there a starter kit approach that works for someone who hasn't developed fastener literacy yet?
That's the open question, isn't it? You can hand someone a 300-drawer inventory list, but if they can't tell a machine screw from a wood screw by looking at it, they're going to put things in the wrong drawers, and the system breaks down immediately. I'm thinking of my neighbor who tried to use drywall screws for a deck project because they look strong enough. That deck lasted about 8 months before the screws started snapping.
The reference box idea I've mentioned before helps here. A small box with 1 labeled sample of each fastener type, the actual screw, the actual nut, with a label saying what it is and where it lives. You build that first, before you fill the drawers. It becomes your Rosetta Stone. When you're not sure what you're holding, you match it to the sample. It's like those paint chip cards at the hardware store, but for fasteners. You don't need to know the name, you just need to find the match.
And the other thing that's shifting under this whole conversation is 3D printing and CNC. As those become more common in home workshops, the fastener inventory problem changes. Printed parts often use heat-set inserts and specialty screws that don't appear in traditional fastener assortments. M3 heat-set inserts, for example. They're not in any Hillman assortment at Home Depot, but they're essential if you're bolting into a 3D printed part.
The deep inventory concept may need to evolve to include those new categories. We're already seeing hybrid workshops where you've got traditional wood screws next to M3 standoffs for printed enclosures. The 300 drawer setup could absorb that, those 10 overflow drawers I mentioned, but the procurement channels for heatset inserts are different from the ones for zinc wood screws. You're not buying those from the industrial fastener place on the loading dock, you're buying them from electronic suppliers. So now you've got two supply chains to manage, not one.
The inventory system has to accommodate multiple supply chains. That's actually a harder problem than just having enough drawers.
It is. And it's where the spreadsheet approach breaks down, because you're managing reorder points across suppliers with different lead times and minimum orders. At some point, you need actual inventory management software, not just a list. Or at least a more sophisticated system than this drawer looks low.
Which is maybe where we loop back to the MRO analogy. Delta's not managing 450,000 part numbers on a spreadsheet.
No, they're running full ERP systems with automated reorder triggers. But for a home workshop, the drawer looks low, add it to the list. Method works fine until you cross about 500 part numbers. Below that, visual inspection beats software every time. The human eye is actually a pretty good inventory sensor at that scale. You can glance at a drawer and know instantly whether it's at 20% or 80% capacity. Software requires data entry, and data entry is where home inventory systems go to die.
This has been my weird prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for keeping us honest about shipping costs and the existence of Mike.
If you want to share your own fastener inventory spreadsheet or argue with Hilbert about the best local supplier, leave us a voicemail at myweirdprompts.com. We'll read the best ones on a future episode.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.